One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 15, Book 130 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
Get the picture. If you are taking, or intend taking, a USAFE correspondence course, it is now possible to supplement several of these courses with an additional visual aid through USAFE's telecourses, classroom lectures on film. These filmed courses, which can be shown on any standard 16mm projector, are divided into half-hour classes, each one devoted to explaining, discussing, and giving additional information on the particular subject being studied, and which is also being taken through a regular USAFE correspondence course. Cartoons, diagrams, and other visual aids are included in the lectures to illustrate the subject and to make it more clearly understood. This audio-visual approach to learning has already proven itself to hundreds of servicemen and women overseas. So why don't you take advantage of it? Consult your education officer for details. Then enroll with USAFE and let a telecourse be your guide.
Today, a date with Mr. Manningson. When Jack Barber got home from the office this pleasant spring evening, his seven beautiful women met him with a warmer greeting than usual, offered him a demi-tasse of fresh hot coffee, a smoked salmon hors d'oeuvre, and asked at what hour he would prefer to have his dinner, which would be composed of all his favorite dishes. And now, in the master bedroom, as he changes from business suit to slacks and slippers, he finds Betty refilling the demi-tasse from a carafe.
So I told the girls, I said, Daddy comes home tired, and he'd like to take time to get ready for dinner. But no, somebody has a date, or somebody's going to the library, and so we rush, rush, rush. And I said, there's going to be a whole new system around here starting tonight.
Great so far. What brought this on?
I said, many an evening I have something to tell Daddy, but by the time we've heard the grammar school gossip and the high school gossip, the steam has gone out of what I wanted to say. So I said, tonight, by Gemini, with all the news I've got, I want a few minutes alone with your father. I'm talking to the girls now. I don't mean Father Barber.
Yeah.
Alone. Before we hear about the bathing society and the girls' hockey team and who got what part in the play and who's got a date and who hasn't.
What's happened?
How do you know something's happened?
Well, I'd be an idiot if I didn't. All this build-up. Whom do I owe?
Why, nobody, Jack, honestly.
The electric washer cave in?
No. Why, it isn't us at all. It's Hazel. And you'd better sit down because you never heard anything like this in your whole life.
I can feel it coming.
Oh, no, you can't. This is the most thrilling surprise you ever heard.
I wonder if I can stand
it. I was dusting the front room about 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I saw a car, Jack, this long, low, beautiful, custom-built, off-white car with maroon upholstery. Well, it stopped at the folks' house, and this beautiful man got out, this absolutely dream of a man, in tweed, scotch tweed, with iron gray hair. He's about 6 feet tall, lean and tanned, and, well, he looks like Cary Grant, only he looks younger than Cary Grant.
I'm over here.
Oh, I'm showing you the way I watched him.
Oh.
Because nobody was home at the folks' house, and, of course, Claudia and Nikki went to Sky Ranch, and goodness only knows where Penny is. Anyhow, he came here to find out more about Claudia. Well, he has the nicest voice, Jack, and a crinkly, easy smile and a sense of humor. Oh, Claudia is a fool. Anyway, there he was at our door, and he said he was Del Mannington, who'd been looking forward to seeing Claudia for weeks because they knew each other so well and went steady in college in 1932. Only last night at the Fairmont, he got this crushing note from Claudia.
May I have some more coffee?
Don't interrupt.
Oh, I'll pour it. Go on.
I gather what Claudia said in her note was, well, everything in their youth was so absolutely perfect, and her memories of him were so yummy. So, why not be realistic? 26 years have gone by, and let's keep the memory and not let reality mess it up. And she said she'd gone to the Sky Ranch for the weekend with her husband, and good luck and bless you. And if there is reincarnation, wouldn't it be dandy because they could meet again younger, possibly, but so long now.
Did he tell you all this?
Well, some, and the rest I've pieced together. Anyhow, who should come along right then, headed for the folks' house, returning some flower vases, but Hazel in her new suit. Well, he recognized her. He was bowled over. He said she had changed less than anybody he knew. Well, she told him, of course, she was married, but Dan's away at the convention. And he said she looked lonesome, so he's taking her out to dinner.
Oh, me.
What?
I was just thinking about Claude.
Well, so was I. I've been thinking about Claudia all day, Jack, because... You know why she went to the Sky Ranch and didn't keep her date with him? Because she was positive he'd be dumpy and fat and old and wheezy and bald as an egg and she'd be disappointed. And here he is, this dreamboat, 46 years old, healthy and tan and a widower.
Claude was just going to have dinner with him, wasn't she? She didn't plan to elope.
Jack, it's a romantic evening, that's all. Oh, I think it's wonderful for Hazel because... Well, wait till Dan hears about it. This is going to do more for Hazel's ego than anything, because he liked her. I could see it in his eyes, and she needs something nice to happen after that party. Del said to her, where do you want to go to dinner? And she said, oh, India House. And he said, and a play? And she said, that would be fun. And he said, dance afterwards? And she said she'd love it. But she told him she couldn't leave until after she'd phoned Dan at the Ambassador Hotel in Chicago at 6:01 after the rates go on. So that's what she's doing along about now. And I'd dearly love to drop in over there, wouldn't you? And hear what she tells Jan. What are you grinning about?
You're a great little storyteller, Betty. I'll drop my subscription to the Post and just listen to you.
Oh, Jack. But I think this new system is an improvement, don't you? This way, I can tell you all the news about without six kids interrupting. Oh, Jack. Look out the window. There's his car.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family. Do you know what is called the first American Constitution to create a government in the United States? It was called the Fundamental Orders and was written in Connecticut in 1639. A great deal of our election procedures today are based on the Fundamental Orders. For example, they stated that when a nation of people are joined together in peace and unity, they should have a decent and orderly government to handle their problems. The Fundamental Orders also established a method for voting. They directed that the people of each town would meet together at a set time and place to elect what they called deputies. These deputies attended general assemblies and voted on all laws and orders which would be for the public good, just like our representatives and senators do today. Yes, these early settlers in Connecticut added a most important page to your political history. At the vast white house, 13 doors from the family home, Hazel, in the den, her dress rustling pleasantly as she sits at the desk, has put in a long-distance call. It's 6:02.
That's right. Room 444, Ambassador West Hotel in Chicago, Mr. Daniel Murray. Thank you. Lovely spring evening, operator. Yes, isn't it? Oh, thank you. Dan? Well, hello. How was the trip?
Well, 6:03 your time, huh? How's the weather?
Oh, it's beautiful, Dan. A friend of Claudia's...
Yeah, it's raining here now. It was cold and windy this morning. I walked down Michigan Boulevard with Quade Duckworth and it blew his hat off. But the town looks good. Business seems to be picking up.
I'm glad to hear it. Dan, I've got a dinner date.
We've picked up a new line of rods and reels made in Antioch. High-priced stuff, but very good. Custom-built for special orders.
Sounds wonderful. Dan, Claudia has
Quade a... Quade and Babe are both kind of hurt that you didn't come, Hazel.
Well, you give them my love and tell them if they'll stay sober, I'll try it again.
Oh, Hazel, it isn't that bad.
Dan, I told the operator to stop me after 3 minutes, and the time's almost up. And I wanted to tell you about what happened today.
Oh, honey, sorry, here's Quade. I gotta go. We've got a dinner date in the pump room with some dealers in Texas. Goodbye. I'll write you. Bye, Hazel.
Goodbye, Dan. Oh, dear. Coming. Be right there. Well, Mr. Mannington, you're prompt as the Count of Monte Cristo.
I've been counting the hours.
Not only the answers, but flowers.
Oh, they came?
At 4:00. And I love the note, Del. May I show it to Claudia? Come on in.
We're not even going to talk about Claudia. What's the echo?
Oh, it's this hall. We can't seem to get rid of it. Shall we go?
We're off. What about the phone call to your husband?
I've made it.
So soon?
Yes. And it's raining in Chicago.
Well, it isn't raining here. It's a brilliant spring evening, and everything sparkles. Shall we go?
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
Get the picture. Through USAFI's series of telecourses, you can now study by film. In addition to studying certain USAFI courses on the high school and college level in the usual way, you can now make it easier on yourself by studying the same courses on film. Courses are presented in a series, and each series includes from 12 to 20 films, each film running a half hour in length. These courses are taught by outstanding teachers from various United States universities and public schools. The course, American Government One, for example, is taught by Ralph K. Hewitt, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin. This is your chance to increase your learning by visual methods. So contact your education officer for details. Then enroll with USAFI and let a telecourse be your guide.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Jack, rousing in the darkness of the master bedroom, reaches out for Betty and sits up as he sees a nightgowned figure silhouetted at the open window.
Hey, Betty, come back here. You'll catch cold.
They just got home, and now he's driving away.
You're a regular peeping Thomasina.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock. They must have had a dreamy time, all right. I wonder what she told Jet Dan. Gee, I think the whole thing's exciting. Something different.
Oh, your feet are cold.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you don't. Come here. I just realized this house when I got home tonight. What's the idea, huh? Why all the specs?
We didn't think you noticed.
Noticed? I thought it was a gag, but looking back, it seems to me it was kind of on the level. And if so, why?
Well, it's partly because it's spring, Jack. And partly for another reason. We'll tell you sometime.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware, directed by Carlton E. Morse, and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Thorson, and Mary Adams. One Man's Family has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 16, Book 130, Claudia Hears the News. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.